Okay, so we are going to look into, I think, a very interesting topic, the role that witnesses play in different areas of halakha. And clearly there are a lot of halakhic areas where witnesses make a difference, right? Witnesses can testify that someone committed a crime, they can testify to whose money it is, they can testify that an act of kiddushin took place. So let's see how witnesses work in Judaism, and if it's the same in different contexts. So there are two, it always pays to start with the psukim. So there are two psukim in Sefer Dvarim that are quite relevant. So we go to the first one, because just in general, if they're psukim, I'm not going to put on the source sheet. That I assume everybody could find on their own. Okay, so if you have in Perek Yud Zayin Pasuk Vav, it says, Al pi shnayim eidim o shloshim den yumad hameis, lo yumad al pi erachat. So there's one clear area where one witness is not sufficient. Right? When you get it from Dvarim Yud Zayin, you need two witnesses for death penalty crimes. Okay, so that's a no-brainer. Right, you want to claim that somebody is a murderer, someone is an idolater, right, and give them a punishment, you need two witnesses. Okay, great. Then the Torah turns to this theme in Dvarim Yotet. So we skip a little bit in Dvarim Yotet. It says, Lo yakum eidachad b'ish l'kal avon u'l'kol chatat b'chol chedah she'echta al pishneidim al pishloshdim yakum davar. So what does it say here? It seems like it's a longer list, right? You need two witnesses for kol avon, kol chatat, kol chedah she'echta, any sin, not only a death penalty crime. Okay, but exactly what the context here is a little bit murky, right? Any sin doesn't tell you exactly what the context is. Okay, so let us go to the Mefarshim, and we'll see different methods of trying to figure out the context. And it's clear that everyone's kind of heading in the same direction, right? Everyone's going to say that we're talking about monetary matters over here. That apparently, just like you need two for a capital crimes case, you need two to win the money. We are going to fight about cash, we're not sure who the winner is. Two witnesses are what's needed to determine it. Now, how does anybody get to the fact that we're talking about money here? So let's go to the Ibn Ezra in source two. Lo yukum eidachad, ben lerotzeach, whether a murderer, ben lemakeh, someone who strikes or assaults another, ben lemasik. What's masik? What? Anyone know what it is? Okay, again here.
Practical.
Where do you get that from? Okay. Anybody? Oh, very good. Who has heard the phrase hasagat gvul? What does hasagat gvul mean, halacha? So there's two meanings. There's the literal meaning, and there's the more metaphorical halachic meaning. Right? The literal meaning is I try to encroach on your property by moving the fence. Like a classic dishonesty, right? You wake up one morning, all of a sudden the fence is 2 yards removed from where it used to be. All of a sudden your neighbor's backyard is much bigger, and your backyard got a little smaller. Okay? That is correct. That is hasagat gvul. Okay? But anyone else? It's used a little bit. It's actually very interesting halachot. It's used also about encroaching. Not encroaching to physically steal your backyard, but what about encroaching on your livelihood? Like, let's say, who we go with the small town here? Should we go with Cleveland, the small town? Who should we go with? Yeah. Here, go with Cleveland?
Hartford.
Okay. Oh, go with Hartford. There you go. Okay, Hartford. Let's say Hartford has one kosher pizza store. You have a pizza store? Okay. Fine. Okay. All right. Let's say Hartford has one kosher pizza store, and somebody else opens a pizza store. So there's a halachic term where the first person could, as it were, complain to Beit Din. This is a hasagat gvul. Means I don't think Hartford can support two pizzas, kosher pizza stores, and therefore the opening of the second one will put me out of business. Okay, so since it sounds like halacha actually has some curtailing of absolute capitalism, right? If there's only room for one business, we don't want a second business to come in, and that's good. For all the guys in NYU and Wharton, right, halacha has curtailing of some absolute capitalism. Okay, you can't put the first guy out of business by opening the second store. Okay, so that is called hasagat gvul. Okay, so what's the claim? You need two witnesses in the case of Mesig. I don't know where the Ibn Ezra got that from. Why is he bringing hasagat gvul? Ah, that's the previous pasuk. Maybe the way of, very good, Tim. Maybe the way of figuring out the ambiguity is to look what the context is. What is the previous pasuk too? You need what? Two witnesses. What does it say? Shouldn't have closed my Tanakh there. The previous pasuk says, Lo tasig vul reecha. Okay, there it is. So if the previous pasuk is about encroaching, either the more literal physical encroaching on your backyard, or this more metaphorical encroaching on your business, and then the next pasuk is you need two witnesses. So what does the Ibn Ezra figure out? You need two witnesses for monetary cases. Okay, so according to Ibn Ezra, the way we know to apply to Mamon is because of the context. Okay, great. Let us go to the Bechor Shar. Lo yukum, source 3, lo yukum eidachad b'ish, b'mamun uv'makar akata medaber. Once again, you need two witnesses for lashes or monetary cases. Avokamu l'shvua, ula'el diber b'dini nefashot, k'dichtiv lo yukum eidachad. What's a good reason to say this pasuk is not only din nefashah, the one in Yotet? What's the reason, good reason to say Yotet's not only din nefashah? Din nefashah was already covered in Perek Yitzayin. So another reason, we're going to see three different reasons to get to the same place. Another reason to say we're moving from away from capital crimes, that was already covered. Perek Yitzayin said capital crimes requires two witnesses. So this must be something else. This is Mamon and Makot. Okay, finally we go to the Chizkuni. All I know is that Dina Fasha requires two. Dini Mamon Minayin. How do I know that Mamon requires two? Talmud Lomer L'Chalavon. Okay, what about a Karban? L'Karbanot Minayin. If you want to testify that someone sinned, it has to bring a Karban. Talmud Lomer B'Kol Cheda Sheyachta. Which method is the Chizkuni using to increase more things in the category? What's he doing, guys? Each phrase in the pasuk must be there to increase. Why have all these phrases? L'kol avon, l'kol chatat. Well, each phrase expands the category. So notice what just happened. Three different lishonim on chumash. It's a good rule in life, guys. I know even you're doing a Gemara topic, you're not such a Tanakh man. If you go to the psukim and see the mafarshim on chumash, it often helps set you up. It often gets you a good starting point to the Gemara topic. So here we have everyone is claiming that Perek Yotet is about mamon. How did they get there? Three different ways. Ibn Ezra says it's the context. The previous pasuk was about Hasagat Gvul. Right? Rav Yosef Bechor Shar says, we already know Dina Nefashot from Yud Zayin, so Yotet must be something else. Yotet is Mamon. And the Chizkuni says that the various phrases keep increasing the category. So Mamonot gets in there. So what do we know at this point? To give somebody a punishment, capital crimes, lashes, you need two witnesses. And to win a monetary case, you need two witnesses. You having okay with this so far? Any questions up to this point? Okay, excellent. Let us now go a little bit further. We'll get to an extremely interesting ritva. Okay, so I know some of you were at a wedding pretty recently. So you'll notice different practices of the Masada Kiddushin at a wedding. Okay, some have the following practice. They will have the Chatan designate these witnesses. And they might even say, these are my witnesses to the exclusion of all others. Can you hear that? Because why are they doing that? Why are they saying these are my witnesses to the exclusion of all others? And, okay, I'm sorry? Very good. So David Lipschitz is right, because they're kosher witnesses. But even more than that, there's a rule that if you're part of a group of witnesses, let's say there are eight witnesses who are one group, and two of them are apostles, what happens? We invalidate the whole group. It is called Eidut Shebatla Miktzata Batla Kula. Okay, great. So apparently those Masada Kedusha that are adamant about that, what are they saying? We better isolate these two fellows so that they're not part of a larger group. What if a larger group has 40 gamblers and all those gamblers are apostle Eidut? Right, they might invalidate the entire thing. So let's separate the two of them. Okay, we got that so far? Okay, so that would be the reason to demand designation. Okay. However, that's making an assumption. Okay, who could tell me why you might not need to do that? If you ever had a Kiddushin where the Masada Kiddushin doesn't do that, you should not have a connection. It's okay. Okay, why might why? Yeah, Jacob Matroni? Okay, good. Oh, Jacob Matroni, what an optimistic fellow. That's not what I was thinking in the slightest. There you go. Jacob Matroni said, everybody at the wedding is a good person. What do you mean they're all kosher? What do you want? I suspect there's gamblers there. There you go, Jacob. I should become less cynical. Yeah, Sam? No, but give me a reason why, even if there are apostle people there, even if the wedding's being held in Las Vegas, you might still be okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, Adjarki, what do you say? Very good. Who says that just by standing at a chuppah, you become part of the group? Like, how do you define who's the part of the witness group? Right, isn't that a big assumption? Anybody who happens to be there? Like, what about, what about the Italian guy who plays the oboe, who's in the band? Right, is he part of the group just because he's standing there playing the oboe? Maybe not. Right, you have to define who is part of the group. What might it take to be part of the witness group? Maybe your intention, maybe what else? Maybe actually coming to court, maybe being called up. So you could say, okay, whether or not I excluded everybody else or designated them, the witness group is not formed by merely being there. Okay? So now let's go to the river. This is a very famous river, guys. Avol b'kiddushin, source 5. Lo ba'inan atem edai. What's lo ba'inan atem edai? You don't need to designate witnesses. V'chein hilchata. Okay. Miu kol heicha sheish bo to mamad ksheir upsulim okrovim. He said, wait, when I said you don't need to designate witnesses, I was in Jacob Matroni territory. What was I assuming? Everybody there is kosher. But what if there are people who are apostle? What if it's a gambler's convention? Sarech liyached edit kedushin. Then the mitzvah doesn't need holds. Liyached. Single out. Very good. I do need to single out edit kedushin. Dilo kevin to ikka eid pasul benam edit kulam betela. Okay, now things get really interesting. Should this be true or not? But the mitzvah is arguing the chumer position, right? If they're psulim there, you had better single out edit kedushin or the whole group's pasul. Now, why is that true? Wait, oh, where's Jacob Dagman? Is he here? Jacob Dagman, Mako. Okay. Excellent. Okay, so what do we say to the witnesses? We say to the Mako, there's two possibilities. Lamechzi atinun, ola sudi atinun. What are the two possibilities? Lamechzi, did you just come? That's not used to a witness, actually. You're misleading over here. You just come to see it. Everybody loves a wedding. Who doesn't want to come see a wedding? But that doesn't mean you want to testify about it. You just want to eat at the smorgasbord. Right? You just came to see it. What's the alternative? Lasude. You actually came to testify. So what does it sound like in Mako? When do you get your witness identity? Only if you came to testify, not if you came to see it. So that would indicate that merely being there per se does not make you a witness, right? We ask you. Did you come, Lemechze, to see it? Ola su, did you actually come to testify? Okay, let's keep reading. Give me a second, Greg. Okay. Iyam Lemechze atino t'chaim edut b'shar. Hainu b'dini mamanot u'b'dini nefashot. Interesting. What's the claim? When does it matter what your intention was? In two categories, right? In monetary cases and capital crimes. Why is that? She'ein ha'edut mitkayemet atchiban lebeitin. Because what's true in those cases? What is the moment here? Now, guys, the conceptual stuff gets really interesting here. What is the moment that you truly realize your witness identity? What is the key moment to being an aide? Exactly, Nate Katz is right. You think when you're an aide, when you testify in court. That is the expression of your aidut. That's when you become an aide. Okay, the shot, look, he says very powerfully. The shot re'iya lo chashiva aidut. What does that mean? Just seeing it does not yet make you. And hey, so when it comes to monetary case or capital crimes case, till you show up in court to testify, you have not adopted the aid identity. You're just a stomach guy. Okay, why is that not true here? Now comes the most lovish part of the day. Aval hacha b'kiddushin, ein ha'edut ba la'meit ha'davar bilvad. Hey, what's he getting at? The purpose of testimony is not only la'meit ha'davar. Yeah, very good translation, right? Using truth as a verb, to truthify the matter, to validate the matter. Ela filu yadinan dahachi kushta demilta. Shekitcha. Even if we know a little Aramaic here, guys, what's kushta? Truth, very good, guys. I always say, you have excuse for not knowing Aramaic, except for three things. If a word happens to be in Kaddish, Rikshame, or Chagadah, then you're drunk. Okay? For example, how do you say a cat in Aramaic? Shunra. Very good, I want you to know that. Okay, guys, you say it every year. Unless you're asleep at the end of Chagadah there. Okay, so in Brich Shemay, okay, in Brich Shemay, we say, Oraita Kshot. What's Oraita Kshot? The Torah is true. Kushta is the truth. Okay? So even if you know the truth of the matter, Shekitcha, there was Kiddushin, Eina Mikudeshet below Eidut. Vein Kiddushin Kiyum below Eidut, V'gzerit HaKatavu. Okay, this is extremely clever. What is the mitzvah claiming? Witnesses, why do you have witnesses in a monetary case? For only one reason. You want to know what happened? Right? If we all trust each other, if Ari Roberts and I trust each other, we don't need witnesses. The only purpose of witnesses is if one of us might be dishonest, one of us might forget, let's have witnesses to clarify what happened. Apparently, that's not true in Kiddushin. What's the role of witnesses in Kiddushin? They could clarify what happened, but they actually make it happen. Meaning, it's not about the truth. Let's say there's just a man and woman, and everyone agrees that they did Kiddushin. And we have a video camera that says they did Kiddushin. What would we still say? They're not married. Part of the definition of the marriage ceremony is that witnesses are standing there. Ever got the distinction? So I would call it Eide Birur. They're Eidim for clarifying the matter. And there's Eide Kiyum. What role does Eide Kiyum play? They don't just clarify the matter. They make it happen. Okay, wait, one more point. I've got it. So far we have Mamot and Nefashot, there's Eide Birur, and Kiddushin there is Eide Kiyum. Here's the next move, guys, but this is the brilliant move. The Kibin to Cain, Shat Masehu Shat Edutan. That's extremely clever. Wait, we said what's the key moment in your witness identity? When you come to court. But when will that make sense? If we're talking about Adam, whose job is to clarify. But if your job is to make the ceremony happen, all of a sudden, what's the key moment?
The wedding.
Ever see that? So it's not just that there's a nice distinction, Edi Birer and Edi Kiyum. It shifts what the moment of witness identity is. Right? If it's Edi Birer, really witnessing is about coming to court to tell the story, to clarify what happened. If it's Edi Kiyum, witnessing is about being a presence at the time of the act. But that's why the Ritva's Chumrah makes sense. What is the Ritva claiming? If it would be Mamun and Nefashot, when is the witness group formed? Only when you come to Beitin. But in Kiddushin, the witness group is formed at the time of Kiddushin. That's why you have to designate Adam at Kiddushin. Okay, I'm going to take comments for 30 seconds. Everyone got this distinction? Okay, what is the Ritva told us? Very interesting conceptual distinction. There's Edi Birer and there's Edi Kiyum, and that changes what the key moment is. In Edi Birer, the key moment is testifying. In Edi Kiyum, the key moment is being present at the event. Greg Shapiro.
It's kind of like a tangential question about Kiddushin in general. So if the Edim, like the only point of that is just to be there, then why?
Well, it could be they do both. It could be they're both Birer and Kiyum. Well, what happens if the woman decides, actually, I don't like this guy so much. I'm going to pretend we were never married. Right? Okay. Jordy, you're good? You tired? Can you stay up last night watching Sharia? What's happening?
No.
Okay. Okay. All right, guys, very exciting because we have the, you know, like in like sports, like the old players come back and they can discuss the old days, the new days. So we could have a discussion today between like Charlie Tao and Charles Daba about like burger bar, different years, different eras of burger bar consumption. Okay, very excited. Okay. Anybody else with a comment or question?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if we have the principle that they only become named when they testify, so to clarify, we have and we also have the principle that if there's someone in the group who doesn't count, then it nullifies the whole group. So if there's a crime, let's say, five people witness it, and one of them is counted, then can we not just have them not testify and everyone else testify?
It's a very interesting question, but I'm going to duck it for now. Learn the first parak of Makot, okay? It's a great parak. You'll have a good time. Okay? We're good? All right. So let's move on a little bit. So far, things seem very smooth, right? We have various areas we need two witnesses. We have you need two witnesses in Dini Nefashot, and in Dini Mamonot, and in Kiddushin. But we've also got this nice conceptual distinction that in Mamonot and Nefashot, it's only Levarer, only to clarify the reality. And in Kiddushin, it's Lekayim. It's actually make the wedding happen. Okay, we're all good so far? Terrific. Yeah, Jacob Katz.
Just a side point. In the Pesukim, it said two or three.
Okay, that's an excellent question. Okay, guys, it's very unusual. Oh, sorry.
No.
Finish
your
thought.
No, you probably already know
it. I just discussed with my Pirkei Avot guys.
Yeah.
You know, okay, let me explain this to everybody, actually. I'm going to make a public resolution in front of everybody. Okay, there's a very interesting mission in the fifth Pirkei of Avot that says there are seven traits the Chacham have and seven traits the Golem has. Okay, and one of the traits of the Chacham is that he doesn't interrupt other people when they're making a point. And I realized, like, for years, after, like, three words, I assume I already know what the point is, and I interrupt them.
Really?
So I'm trying to stop. Okay? Jacob Katz, go ahead.
I'm sure you know the question, but it's kind of like two things. One, I was wondering why I would have to say three if it starts two. And the second part is, does it ever talk about three witnesses here versus two witnesses? Because I know it goes back and forth about one and two.
Okay, so Jacob Katz made a very good point, which is also in Makot. It's very funny for a pasuk to say the matter is fulfilled through two or three witnesses. Because basically, if two witnesses are enough, why do you need to say or three? Like, it's not helpful. Just say you need two witnesses. Right? So there are a lot of drushes about why the pasuk says two or three. Very good point, Jacob. Okay, yeah, Joe. About reform weddings? Okay. Joe, I'll do it just for you. Okay, I'm not sure it's really relevant, but... Okay, Ramosha Feinstein, this perhaps could be actually one of the most important Shubhuta... Actually, it's one of the most important Shubhuta of the 20th century. Okay, at one point, the Reform movement decided that you didn't need a get to get divorced. You just needed a civil divorce. But they still would undergo an act of kiddushin when you got married. So in theory, this could have been a halakhic disaster. Because let's say some poor, unsuspecting Reform couple gets married. They go through kiddushin. Now they're luckily married. Then they get divorced. But when they get divorced, he doesn't give her a get. They only get a civil divorce. So in halachic terms, they're still married. Now this woman remarries, and she has children. So in theory, those children would be... I'm saying, obviously, this would be a disaster. Okay, so Rav Moshe has a very famous tshuva who he tries to solve the problem. So Rav Moshe argues that the first wedding was not really a valid wedding. Okay, he says that if I could negate the first wedding, then there's no problem with children being mamzerim. Now, usually people ask me, but wait, but that means they're born out of wedlock. Okay, why is that not a problem, guys? Yeah, children born out of wedlock are not mamzerim. Okay, mamzerim is limited to incest and adultery. Okay, so if you say there was never a wedding, then you've solved the problem of the status of the children. Okay, now, but obviously, Rav Moshe is very bold and important psak, but the question is, like, how do you justify that? So Joe's right. What would be one way to justify it? What if you have a good assumption that the witnesses were probably not Shomer Shabbos in a Reform wedding? Right? Not because they're evil people, just the Reform movement doesn't believe in Shmirat Shabbat. And if you're not Shomer Shabbos, you're not a kosher witness. And at that point, right, the wedding falls away. So that's one of his methods for invalidating the first wedding. Now, Joe, it's based exactly on this principle. If, guys, you see that the Rav Moshe Psak is based on this lamdas. Right, if Adam in a wedding were only Eddie Bierer, then would Rav Moshe's psak work? No, because you don't really need witnesses. They're just to clarify the reality. But since we're accepting this idea that witnesses in a wedding are Eddie Kiyum, so it turns out that if you invalidate the witnesses, you do invalidate the wedding. Okay, so that this is exactly, Rav Moshe's psak is based on this principle.
Or is it based on other people at the wedding?
No, you didn't even need that. That's clever, you just said it. You wanted to say, why didn't you say someone at the wedding was puzzled and we puzzled the entire thing? But Rav Moshe is saying he thinks probably the two people picked were probably puzzled. Right? It's even more direct. Okay, yeah.
Sorry. Maybe I misunderstood. You're saying if by wedding it's a debut, that it would still,
it would make a difference.
If they're puzzled or not?
Correct. Okay, Jacob and Charlie, let's think about a debut for a second. Let's say I lend you $100. And there are two witnesses, okay? It turns out the two witnesses are puzzled. Okay, do you still owe me $100?
Yeah, but you can't prove it.
That means the action had effect, with or without the witnesses.
Let's say we go to Beit Din and I claim that...
Okay, no, but you're confusing the things. Practically, could I prove my case is different from objectively what happened. The loan took place. Let's say I sell you something and there are two puzzled witnesses. The sale is a good sale. Right, it's true. People could lie. Unfortunately, in life, people can lie. Right, that's the nature of humanity. But the action takes effect. The witnesses are not crucial. What it means doesn't mean Eddie Bierer. Their only job is to clarify. They don't make the thing happen. Okay. They just clarify what happens. If there's a debate, they can clarify. Okay, you got it. Everybody good? Yeah, John.
Is truth based on the premise that Eddie Bierer learned about the natural Shabbat?
Yes.
What if it's a Reform guy who has two
Orthodox friends? Okay, so look at the tshuva in depth. Okay, I'm not going to do it right now, but it's a very, very interesting tshuva. Okay, if you're really curious, Simon Ganellis loves to read Rav Moshe Feinstein tshuvas in his spare time. He'd be willing to learn it with you. You'll just have to help him if there are any transliterations that he struggles with. You know, guys, you know, Rav Moshe, he was a wonderful person, big Talmud Chacham. He was not so interested in modern Hebrew. So he didn't ever learn the words like mazgan and things like that. So it'll say like air conditioner spelled out in Hebrew. Okay, so So whenever we do those tshuva, even though Simon Ganellis is a very, very clever fellow, he somehow is stymied. Yeah, if you ever know what his weakness is, guys, if you're like in some game or competition against him, go with like Rav Moshe transliteration, you could get him. Okay, that's the way to get him. Okay. Okay, John, you got it?
Yep.
Okay, great. Yeah.
Just about the tshuva, so he kind of validates everybody who's reformed and married.
Look, it's funny because I'll tell you an interesting story. I only know this third hand, so it might be wrong. But I'll tell you anyway. Okay, there was a well-known Reform rabbi named Eugene Barwitz, very nice fellow. So sometimes there was once a conversation where like a Reform rabbi was complaining that it's actually an even better conversation. An Orthodox was complaining, Rav Moshe's solution is so insulting to the Reform. He's saying that none of them are married. And Rabbi Barowitz said, no, you have to understand, like, he's solving a terrible problem that would have emerged, and it's a good solution. So some people understand that's what you need to do occasionally. Okay? I don't know if it's true, but it's a good story anyway. It could happen. Eugene Barowitz is a very nice fellow. It could have happened. Okay. We're good? All right. Let us move on. So at this point, things seem very straightforward. We have two models of Eidut, and given reasons why you need two witnesses. Here's where things get a little tricky. Let's go to Gemara Kiddushin Samachai, Source 6. This works great with the Ritva. What are we saying now? You have three people in the story, right? The Chatan, the Kala, and one Ape. What do they all agree? They all agree that a marriage took place. And yet, what do we say? Doesn't count. What does that clearly indicate? What's the role of the witnesses? Not just clarification, not just ADB or but. And again, right? It doesn't matter that everybody agrees. The chatan agrees, the kal agrees, the witness agrees. There's simply no kiddushin. Okay, let's keep going. Amar Rabbi Avuna Makadosh Beirechad Beidina Rab Amri Ein Choshin the kiddushin. Same position. Man did Beidina Rab. Who is it? Rab. Fine. My Haviyala. What's the bottom line regarding this issue? Rav Kahana Amar Ein Choshin the kiddushin. Rav Papa Amar Choshin the kiddushin. So there is one day in the Gemara that really says, no, you have to be nervous. Maybe if the chatan and the kal in 1-8 agrees, there is a certain concern that there really was a kiddushin. Okay. Now let's look at the logic of Rav Kahana. Again, Rav Kahana is which position? Rav Kahana is the position that? Good. Amar, Rav Asaf Kahana, my datcha, what are you thinking? Do you laugh? Dover, dover, mi mamon. Ah, now things get very interesting. Where did you get that two witnesses are crucial for marriage? From mamon. That there's a, it seems like a gzera shava, right? It says davar regarding marriage. It says davar regarding mamon. If mamon needs two witnesses, so does marriage. Okay, well, good so far? Okay, great. Now the Gemara is Akasha. Is that really a good parallel? Okay, here we go. But wait, it's not a good parallel. What? Who knows? What does hodad baldin mean? Who's the baldin? One of the litigants. What if he admits it? If I say, Josh Korbum, it's true, I owe you a burger lunch somewhere. Right? What's the din? I have to pay. Right? Hoda is mechayev. So that works. If the source of kiddushin is mamon, and in mamon hoda baldin works, what should we say about kiddushin? Hoda, very good. You got exactly. Hoda baldin should work there too. Amarlei, no, it's not comparable. Hatam lo kachayev lachrini. Hacha kachayev lachrini. Okay, this is interesting. When do we say hoda baldin works? Well, if I'm admitting it, who's the only person losing? Me, so I have a right to cause a loss to myself. What if you could construct a case where my mitzvah causes a loss to somebody else? Right, that's chav lachri. So it would break down, right? So in monetary cases, if my admittance only causes a loss to myself, it works. Hodad baldin kameid and dami. If my admittance causes a loss to somebody else, I'm not believed. What's the claim about every case of kiddushin? Every case of kiddushin, by definition, chav. It's affecting negatively somebody else. Now, one of you, Kobe Moles, asked me about this. It's not obvious why this is true. Why is every case of Kiddushin... Give me 1 second, Andrew. Chav Lachrini. So let's look at Rashi on the other side for 1 second. Why is every case of Kiddushin Chav Lachrini? You look at this second end of the first line. Hacha Kachayim Lachrini Shekrovateh Nesrubo V'krovov Nesarin Ba. Now, it's not the only pshat, but how does Rashi take it? Why is it Chav Lachrini? Well, if I'm married, that affects who my relatives could marry, right? It affects who the person's relatives could marry. So it's not, marriage is never just something between the two of us. Like a monetary, this could be just between me and Josh. But a marriage always impacts on the relative status of other people. Therefore, there's no hodad baldin in marriage. Okay, so let's stop for 1 second. What have we said so far? Where do we get two witnesses from in Kiddushin? We get it from Mamon. But why is there no hodad baldin in Kiddushin? Because it's chav lachri. Okay, now it gets even better. Let's keep going. Now ask the market. There's one more line, guys. Then I'll ask Akash, and I'll take comments. Okay, Marzutra of Ada Saba Bar Durab Mari Bar Isser, Polig Nichsayu Bahadi Adani. A good Aramaic here. Polig Nichsayu. What does that mean, guys? Polig Nichsayu? Very good. They divided their property. Very good, Jacob. Atul Kamad Yavashi. Amrule Al Pishne Dimam Rachmana. Wait, do we need witnesses? Now, their question is, we love each other. We're as trusting as possible as I'm doing. Someone the honestest guy, most honest guy ever. Like, if you did a business deal with David Baruch, would you say, I better get witnesses because he's liable to cheat me? No, it wouldn't even occur to you. So do we need witnesses or not? Okay, here we go. The Ibrahim Hadr Lomati Hadrabe Vanan Lo Hadri. What's their first thought? The only purpose of witnesses is to make sure people don't. Hadri. Yeah, in this context, very good. Cool. Don't retract. And we're not going to retract. So you don't need witnesses. Oh, Dilma, what's the other possibility? Lo mekayma milt el basade. So the Ritva's lumdus is right here. Right? It's unusual. The lumdus is explicitly in the Gemara. What's their question? Basically, are witnesses biror? Or are they kiyum? If they're kiyum, you need witnesses no matter what. Doesn't matter how much we trust each other. What's the answer? Amarlu lo ivru sadi ella l'shakre. What's the only purpose of witnesses? I.e. Bir. Okay, now I'm going to ask you a fundamental question, and I don't know if we know the answer, but we're going to try three answers, okay? I'm very happy we did this, guys, because I often give sharing things I know already. I didn't really know this till last night, okay? But I found three interesting answers. Okay, what is the question right here? Wait, where do we get the need for witnesses from in Kiddushin? Where do we derive it from? Mamon. Okay, right? The Dover. In Mamon, what role do witnesses play? Birur. Wait, according to the... And that's explicit in the Gemara, right? That was the Gemara we just read. In Kiddushin, what role do witnesses play? Isn't there something funny about saying A is the source of B, but they don't function the same way? Like, if the source of witnesses in Kiddushin is Mamon, probably we should take the Mamon model and plug it in to Kiddushin. So this is kind of an interesting conundrum. Wait, what just happened? Right, the Ritva has this beautiful distinction. In Kiddushin, witnesses are Kiyum. In Mamon, witnesses are just viewer with all the implications. But we actually, it sounds like in Kiddushin Samachay, we actually derive Edom and Kiddushin from Edut and Mamon. So it seems like it's unfair. How do you get from A to B and then totally different models of testimony? Okay, who had a question before? We're good? Yeah, Jacob and Johnny.
I don't really understand how you can read Kiddushin as a case of Hodat Baalvim. Who's the litigant here? How are you confessing on your...
Well, let's think for a second. Who's a Baal Din in a monetary case?
The person who owes money.
Okay, well, why just one person? Maybe the Baal Din could be both people, right? Couldn't the person owed money admit that he was paid?
That he was paid.
Right? So Hodat Baal Din is the two people in the monetary case, right? The Malva and the Lova could be the Baal Din. So who's the Baal Din, as it were, in a Kiddushin?
The Lova? Or,
in a Kiddushin?
The wife.
The husband and wife.
Husband and
wife. Yeah, wouldn't they both be the... They are the players in the game. They're not the spectators, they're the participants. To be a Baal Din is to be a participant.
So they're both participants and they're the Edom for themselves.
No, but again, let's make... Okay, you just said something interesting, we'll get to at the very end. Usually in Halacha, there's a more of a sharp split between the participants and the spectators. Spectators are called Edim, they give Edut. Participants are called Baali Din, they really make ta'anot usually. They make claims. They usually don't give testimony. Okay? We're going to see a shift on that perspective in a second, but I would say a Baal Din is usually not a witness. But if the Baali Dinim admit what happened, that should close the case for us.
Also,
so again, but just let's give you the Gemara. Why did Hodat Baal Din work in money and Hodat Baal Din not work in Kiddushin?
Because you're high for
other... Very good. Chav
Lachrini. Also, why is Rav called Beit Din Rava?
Oh, that's a great question. I know, look it up. Yeah, Jonah.
Is there any other place where there's 8 to 8
here? Oh, that's a very good question. Okay, is Kiddushin unique? It might apply to get also, but that would be more kind of the same rough, area of halacha. Right? Basically, marital status might be the place where 8 to is relevant. Okay, that's a good question, Jonah. Just curious, where would you go with it if it was a larger category or a more narrow category? Okay, it's good theory. Andrew Arkin.
Why would we not allow a husband and a wife to say we got married if it's high left? How does that really make sense?
It means I think what it sounds like before we get to the Haiti Kim Sfar, it sounds like we would say, well, what's the argument of Hodad Baldin Kamehidim Dami? Why should we believe the fellow? Look, he's the only one losing. He's sure this is what happened. Why shouldn't we go with it? But doesn't that break down if the testimony is adversely affecting somebody else? How could you say he's the one losing? Let's just go with his testimony.
I guess I'm sort of influenced by the law instruction. If I'm marrying someone, doesn't I would assume that my brother's going to
be. Or what?
That my brother's going to be the person that I'm dating. So.
All right. Unfortunately, life gets more complicated sometimes, Andrew. Yeah, Zebby.
So you have a possible answer to your question. How do we derive it on different applications? Can we say that the derivation from Mamon is just showing us that we need aiming at all of Kiddushin, and then the Antemei Dai, the other factors are with the
Kiddushin? Okay, very interesting. So I've thought for years about Zevi's answer, or just approach in general, and I'm still not sure what the answer is, but luckily there's more years of learning ahead. Please, God. Okay, which is, could you sometimes say the derivation is only about the general principle, but the specific application could be context-specific? that somehow we can go from mamun to kiddushin, and what do? Two witnesses equals two witnesses. That's all the limud says. Two equals two. How the two function somehow? Oh, kiddushin is a different context then. So you might be right, Zevi, but I really have to think about it. Okay, is that a legitimate move in the halachic system? Okay, I like your approach. I'm just not sure whether it works. Yeah, Jacob.
Could you say that the amount of derivation is for the transactive nature of the kiddushin, and that the only reason you need the eight kiyum afterwards to establish the public service status of the couple?
Okay, whoa. Where's Rav David? Rav David and Rav Adi. I think they're going to really love this year in Chanelf. Can you hear that? Jacob Glass maybe a chiluk between like the economic part of the Kedushin and like the public couplehood of the Kedushin. Like one unique key and one you don't. Oh, very interesting, Jacob. Okay, I'm not sure it fits the one Kedushin Samachay, but a very, very good way of thinking. Yeah, Simon.
What are the Akhrinim?
Well, in which case? In Kedushin or in Mamon? Yeah. Well, what did Rashi say with the Akhrinim according to Rashi? The relatives. Right, if A and B are married, that affects the halachic status of all the relatives, who the relatives can marry. Okay, we're all good, Summer? Yeah, David Frank.
So, in a case like the DNA Mavanos, but we say that he has a Kaibla Frene, would you trust that Baladin if he admits to it or no?
No, it still doesn't work because we're afraid that since he's adversely affecting other people, he's not sufficient to be believed. We need real witnesses.
So you can apply this fire that we use for kiddushin.
Correct. No, that parallel is okay, but as I was saying before, that whole chavla chrini conversation seems to very much be in the world of Birur. When do we believe them? When don't we believe them as clarifying agents? Right? It seems to leave out this sharp distinction between mamonu is this model and kiddushin is a totally different model.
Then why are we able to make that distinction of the Gemara?
That's exactly the question you're calling right now.
Okay.
Right? If Kiddushin Samachay seems to be deriving Kiddushin from Mamon, how can you end up with such a sharp distinction about how they work? It's a good question, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Thank you. I asked it 5 minutes ago. Okay, excellent. Yeah, JJ.
Do you need witnesses for the Sheva Prita part of the Kiddushin?
This is the Sheva Prita part of the as opposed to which part?
Oh, the Yukon part.
Okay, let's start with 1 second, guys, just for general Jewish knowledge. Okay, there are two parts to every Jewish marriage. Okay, the Kiddushin, which is also called the Erusin, and the Nesuin. Okay, the first Mishnah in Kiddushin says there are three ways. By the way, Jacob Glassman, this could be good for you. You could throw this into your theory, right? Kiddushin Erusin is one aspect, Nesuin is the other aspect. Okay, think about it. Okay, so what are the three methods of doing Kiddushin Erusin? Kesef, Shtar, and Via. What does everybody invariably do today? Kesef. So when the Chatan gives the Kal the ring and says, Hari Atma Kodesh Li, right, that is the Kiddushin part of the ceremony. Okay, then there's also Nesuin. Nesuin has various ways of fulfilling it. One might be being together under the chuppah. One might be the Yichud Room. That's why at all Ashkenazi weddings, what happens immediately after the chuppah? Go to the Yichud Room, because you're trying to do different methods of fulfilling Nesuin. Okay, but we're talking about now, JJ, we're talking about the Kiddushin, the Haim and Kodesh Ali. It could be if there are no witnesses standing there, according to the Ritva, it doesn't matter what happened, it's not a Kiddushin.
Right, but in terms of the Kesef, can't you say it's just like very extension to the Mamon? Because if one of the parts is, like, you're going to do the Kesef, can't you say that's the Mamon extension?
Well, how does that solve the problem? Meaning the ceremony requires a man, a woman, cash, and witnesses. I'm missing something crucial. Okay, if you say it Kiyum, they're crucial. Okay, we're good? Yeah, take a guess.
Just perhaps answer the question. I don't know. It seems like Bir and Kiyum are sort of like derivatives of witnesshood. So you're saying, oh, how can we just like derive a witness wedding from Kenyan, like, but then have them act differently? Well, we're just deriving that there are witnesses overall. And
is it a little bit similar to Zevi's point? I think that's Zevi's answer. Right, Zevi's answer is maybe Limud could work on a very general plane. Just like you need two witnesses for Mamon, you need two witnesses for Kiddushin. That's all the Lima does. Then on a case-by-case basis, we try to analyze what the witness's role is. I admit, if that would work, it would be a great answer. Yeah, John.
How do you learn the concept of Edom and Kiddushin in the first place?
No, look, you could ask how Gzeirah Shavas work, but we seem to have some Gzeirah Shava. So the wording regarding Mamon resembles the wording regarding Kiddushin, and if we take a halacha from Mamon and bring it to Kiddushin.
And you wouldn't require that for other Kiddushin status.
such a, what do you mean? What?
Like a pidyon habed.
Ah, oh, that's clever. You want to say then maybe, that's a really interesting idea, but I think it's not true. Maybe the idea is like all dramatic changes in Jewish status would require 8AQ. Okay? But we apparently don't say that, John. You can think about why. By the way, you can go further, right? Maybe you should come to new Chiddush. John is a great Chumrah. Okay, maybe Brit Mila needs 8AQ. Okay? Why, just curious, why do you go with Pidyon HaBed and not Brit Mila?
I don't know.
Okay. So, but if the answer is not, it's interesting to think about. Like, why is that not true? Maybe there's something specific about marital status. Right? Okay? Yeah, Jacob.
I don't know, I'd argue, I don't know what the other relevant cases are, by the way. You could argue that, without bringing out the exceptions to John, it's cool that there's like some physical manifestation of that, of like a new social status, and you wouldn't be witness to a Pinot of Banner, so like new, nothing outside of like the word of the Kohen that there was.
Okay, okay. Yeah, Andrew, one more comment, and one.
I was going to say that conversion also requires 80 keys, so that gets more.
What, say what?
That conversion also.
You know, because the Beitin?
Yes.
Yeah, it's very clever. Are you sure the Beitin's functioning qua Adam? Maybe they're there as a Beitin and not as Adam? You have to work out if they're functioning as Adam there, okay? It's true you need a Beitin present, but that might be to be a Beitin, not to be Adam. Okay, great. So let's go with two solutions. Ah, the Chutzah screw us back. He's been holding himself in for weeks now. What do you got?
In a basic,
Jacob, I'll apologize in India for making money.
Okay. Can a Beis Din, like, if you decide to get married in front of a Beis Din, would that work instead of getting married in front of a, let's say, Adam?
Possibly, but not, it's a very clever question, but again, not qua Beis Din, but qua Adam. So a lot of life, you know, what identity you have. Right, am I functioning as this, or am I functioning as that? Okay. Right, if Beit Din comes to a wedding, they're not functioning as a Beit Din. They can function as Aiden, perhaps. Okay, there's no place for Beit Din in the world of wedding. Good? That's a good question, though. Okay, great. Let's now go to two answers. Okay, we're going to do three answers, we're going to do two. Let's do the Pnei Yeshua versus the Ketos. Okay, perfect time, 13 minutes, just enough time for two answers. Let us go to the Pnei Yeshua. Okay, I'm in the second paragraph of Pnei Yeshua. Pnei Yeshua is an Achron who actually had a little bit of a tragic life. There was actually, believe it or not, guys, there was like a gunpowder explosion in his house. And he lost a number of family members and a number some of his writings. And he decided, I'm going to recommit myself to, you know, producing some Torah literature. And he published the Pnei Yeshua. Take a look, read the introduction. Okay, it's quite an interesting story. Okay. So if you look at the second paragraph, he says, Lule Peresh Rashi Verash Bezal, Hayanir Lufash, Had the Mashani Rav Kahana Hakam Achayv Lachrini. When Rav Kahana says it's Chayv Lachrini, Lav Agzeira Shava De Davar Davar Kai, Devadi Ik Agzeira Shava De Davar Lav Linyan Shnei Emodim. Hayri. Elinyan Emechel Machishol Mishinu Dev. This is very confusing, but I'm going to cheat. Hope you don't mind. I'm going to cheat just to get to the easy part. Okay, skip to the next line. He says, Elaha De Lo Mahani Bikidushin Af Bishnei Emodim. Ha De Lo Mahani? That Lo Mahani? It does not help. It's not effective if they agree. Memela Atilan Misvara. Whoa, what did you just do? Revolutionary pshat. We thought, where did you get the idea of two witnesses for Kiddushin from on all levels? Mammon. It is all derived from Mammon. What does he claim? No, there's only one. It's a little like Zevi. There's only one detail you get from Mammon. But where do you ultimately get the fact that the witnesses are crucial? They get Misvara. So clearly, you have to successfully read this in Kiddushin Samachay, but if you do that, you've solved the problem. Right? We said, how could you get Kiddushin from Mammon and then have them have totally different details? Says the Pnei Yeshua, no, there was one specific idea we got from Mammon. But ultimately, the idea of Eidi Kiyum, we got that from Svara. Now, realize, by the one could push this one step further. What would obviously be your next question? Wait, you got it from Svara? Yeah, what's the Svara? But is that so intuitive? Okay, obviously, witness and Kiddushin are not just clarifying matters. They're obviously part and parcel of the ceremony. So I admit it needs working out, but I'm going to duck it for now. He tries to work out an argument. You have to see if you think it works in the next couple of lines. Right? But again, obviously, you could solve the problem if you say, ultimately, the ADQ idea does not come from Mammon. It comes from another source. It comes from Asfar. Okay, let's go to the last source of the day. Let's go to the Ketos in source 10. Okay, the yeshiva is getting much more lumdish. I think it's like the seventh Ketos I've put this year. Okay, if you count Tzos and Avni Milu, man shapes Shmaitza. Okay, unbelievable. Okay, what?
It's so important. It's a Jew running around. We need a little more.
It's true. John Seidel, what are you going to do? How many Tzos are you going to do on the hill there, John Seidel?
I hope as many as possible.
Okay. You're going to have to find like the right music to do Tzos by, John. Okay. I think Harry Chapin goes with the Tzos. Okay, here we go. So let's see the Tzos' answer. Hey, we're going to try and figure out. Okay, Sam Jaron, I have bad news for you. The Grateful Dead, do not go with the Tzos. Okay, here we go. Okay, let's see what we have here in Source 10. Okay? Okay, Ikka Lemeder, Maishna Begitin Vikidushin. Okay, why is it different? Deba'inan Shnei Edim al Guf HaMaseh. What do you need? Ubeino Leveina Lav Klumu. Beino Leveina Lav Klumu. Without witnesses? Nothing happened. Afilu Shnei Modim, even though everyone agrees what happened. We are finu aperk omer davar davar mi mamon. We die from mamon. Wait, the kibin de gabe mamon mitkayim hamase below edim kol shen yamets. The kedushin begin the mi mamon yalef lo nitkayim hamase below edim. Is that not our question? How can we get kedushin from mamon and yet they play out so differently? That in kedushin the edim are crucial, and in mamon they're not crucial. It's exactly our question. So if we don't go with the zevi approach, we're going to go with the pnei yeshua. Is there an alternative approach here? So let's skip down to V'lechein Nireh. And now the Ketzos is going to make reference to another famous Ketzos. This actually one is not famous. V'lechein Nireh L'aniyot about the seventh line. L'fima shakatavti b'simen l'amadal tzivkandal. This is the most famous Ketzos ever. Right? If you just want to sound that you know what you're talking about, and someone says you Ketzos, just say l'amadal adal. That's all you have to remember. Okay? Simen l'amadal adal. Okay?
It's one of the four?
It's one of the four, yes. Okay? Okay. Guys, I'm sorry, I'm going to tell the story again, even though like all you shouldn't have been know the story. Okay, so when I was an 18-year-old yeshiva student, I had a Rebbe from the Mir. And he told me that, according to Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, who's a well-known yeshiva in the Mir, there are four ketzoses you need to know not to be on the arts. But he never told us what they were. So I spent years wondering if I know the four or not. Like, it's a pretty big deal, am I on the arts or not? Right? I was wondering, like, do I have to read the whole book just to make sure I'm not on the arts? I wasn't sure. So then, a few years back, my wife and I went to a bar mitzvah in Chashmoneim. And on the way back, there was a Haredi guy waiting for a tramp on the side of the highway. So we picked him up. So I said, you know, think about it, guys. What do you schmooze with a Haredi guy about? Like, it's not like endless possibilities. So I asked him, what are you learning in yeshiva? So he says, Baba Basra. I said, oh, Baba Basra, the ketos is pretty important, Baba Basra. He goes, yeah. So I say, what's your favorite ketos? Which that apparently he didn't like so much. I guess you weren't supposed to have a favorite ketos. So he said to me, okay, I can't answer that question, but my Rebbe said there are four ketos you need to know not to be on the arts. So I started to get a little excited. So I said to him, do you know what they are? He goes, yes. So I said, wait, let me guess. Okay, so I started guessing. Okay, I got the first one right away, Lama Dal Dal. That was an obvious one. I have to admit, after that, my batting average went down. Although, to be fair, it's not really like an exact science. What do the four ketoses need to know not to be on the arts? But then he told me what his list was. So now I have the official list. I know what the four of them are. So I had a very good time that because it was like a Friday afternoon, if I recall correctly. So I then spent the rest of Shabbos telling me a little shvut that I know it. I found this crazy guy with the four ketoses and ketoses I like, not on my arts. I don't know if this is true. I'd like to believe he spent Shabbos going around the mirror saying, some datilu me guy tried to guess the four ketoses and ketoses on my arts. So I don't know if that happened, but I'd like to believe that's what happened. Yeah.
Tell them to us, or are you just going to wait until we pick up Haredim?
You know, like, no. Anyone who wants, I will send you the official list. Okay, send me an email, you get the list. What?
How do you learn the four?
At the time, I think I knew three of the four. See, it's good. It's good I went to that trip. See? Mitzvah, go right, mitzvah. So I told you guys, there's one fellow so far where I learned all four with. I wrote him a certificate that I hereby declare that he's not on Mars. Okay, so there is someone who has such a certificate out there in the world. Okay, what? It was not Sever. There's a second candidate, by the way. Louis Teitelbaum is a candidate. But you guys know Louis? But he's such a serious guy, he doesn't want me to write it for him until I give him a bechina. He wants like me to affirm that actually knows the four. Okay, so he has no certificate yet, because I'm not yet giving him a bechina. Okay, so what does the Ketzos say here? Dahat kaimon odad baldin kameidim. When we say, when you're moda, it's like you have edim. Eina mishum matana. Kamosh el damar en leiv. El ikita mishum da torah hemina l'kala adam atzmo. Okay, I think I mentioned this once. He asked a famous question. Why is it that if I say I'm chayav $100, I would, that ends the case? So there's two ways to say it. One is, we're sure I'm telling the truth. If I tell Josh I owe $100, why would I lie? It could only be because that's the truth. So in that case, my one argument, my one claim, we're clear is correct. Okay, that he calls nemanut, nemanus. But it's also possible that we don't know if it's the truth. Why do I pay if I say to Josh $100? Maybe Beitin says to me, hey, Rabbi Blau, you want to pay $100? That's your business. Go pay him. Why should we get involved? Why should Beitin get involved if everybody's happy? But according to that, it's not that I'm believed about the reality. It's simply I'm like giving him a gift. Ever see what he calls matana here? So everyone agrees that if I say I'm chayav, I lose. But that could be because we really believe that's what happened, what we'll call nemanut. Or I'm simply being mechayev myself. We call that matana or hitzvah. Everyone understand that? Okay, what does the ketos assume? What's the real pshat? It's not matana, but rather... So we really believe me. Look what he does now. Very clever move. Lefiz and nerehat ektev al pishnayim yakum davar hainu de below edim lo mikayim davar klal. Let's go with the idea of edikim. You do need edikim. If there's no edikim, nothing happens. El de gabe mamon de bal de neman kameedim hare edav imho. This is very clever. I don't know if it's correct, but it's extremely clever. Can we catch what that last svar was? What was the svar there? Since the Baal Dovers believe, like witnesses, Hari Edav Imo. And therefore? What if I argue a revolutionary theory? Edei Momona also requires Edei Kiyum. But you always have it. Why do you always have it? Because the Baal Dover and Momona could function as Yay. So witnesses are always present. Either there are two witnesses present, or the two people are involved. But since the two involved are allowed to function, in this case, as witnesses, so that solves the problem. So it's kind of revolutionary theory. Really, Mammon also has Edekiyum. There's Edekiyum in Mammon and Edekiyum in Kiddushin. It's just that it plays out differently, because since only in Mammon can we say, Hodad Baldein Kamei Dami, in that case, there are Edim, even without two other fellows. And therefore, the Mammon goes through. But regarding Kiddushin, if you don't have two more people, you can't use Hodad for the Kamei Dami, and that's why the Lachic difference plays out. Okay, I just want to make one more point, and then I'll take closing comments. Again, guys, what was our question? How can you go from Mammon to Kiddushin if they work differently? What was the Pnei Yeshua Svara? We're not really getting Kiddushin from Mammon. Where are we getting it from? Independent Svara. Okay, what is the Ksosis theory? We are getting Kiddushin from Mammon. Because if you think about it more deeply, they actually are parallel. What's the parallel? You need a dim. In both cases, you need a dim. What's the one difference? In an area where you say, Hodad Baldin Kamei Dami, you have a dim, even absent the presence of other a dim. Okay, here's my one last question, guys. If you wanted to reject the ktos, give me a conception of Edikim where he'd be wrong. Because how is he thinking about Edikim? He thinks Edikim simply means we need some ability to have testimony, and if you don't have that ability, the whole thing falls around. What may be a different way of thinking about Edikim? What if I think about Edikim more as like a physical presence? What I want to happen in this world? It's not a good wedding unless somehow two other Jews are there representing Am Yisrael. A wedding is not just, you know, husband and wife. You need two other people present. If it's about physical presence, right, MNC, it wouldn't matter that you could have Hodad Baldin. Right? If that's your conception of Kiyum, you need two other people there. Right? Then Hodad Baldin would by definition not be a relevant factor. He seems to say, as long as we could prove it after the fact, they could function as the presence of witnesses, even the two litigants. Okay, now comments. Jonah.
Why don't we only need one more aid for Kiddushin? We can't even have the husband as one of the aid.
Well, he can't use the mechanism of Hodad Baldin Kamei Edim Dami because it's Chav Lachrinim. Right, and once he can't use that mechanism, I think we view him as a participant and not a witness, and he can't even be a one witness. You're right. So you're right, Jonah, but because of this principle, we could argue about why it's true. Because this principle of Hodad Baldin Kamei Edim Dami is saying it's a unique scenario, the participant is able to function as a witness. You're right, it's kind of unusual, but that's what he's saying. Yeah.
So it's putting a comparison between
Mammon and... Yeah, he thinks Mammon and Nevashar are the same. They play out slightly differently, but it's the same principle. You can't get married without witnesses. Not just for clarification. If witnesses weren't present, it's not a wedding. What's the advantage of monetary cases? the chatan could be the witness, because hodat. Sorry, yeah, not the chatan. The litigants could be the witnesses, because hodat both in kameidim dummy.
So you still have the
No, but it's the same fundamental principle, though. There's no wedding unless there were witnesses present. Like, in a wedding, there's no monetary loan, there's no sale unless the witness is present. In a wedding, the witness is present is two other people. In a sale or a loan, the witness is present is litigants. They're the witnesses that are present.
Isn't he just that sort of choosing like that one fundamental like value of a comparison is more than the one that the Ritva raised? Like what's more like the fundamental principle?
No, in a certain sense, he ends up similar. Practically, he'll end up in a similar place to the Ritva. Meaning in a... Oh, actually, it's not influential. Because according to him, you'd actually argue, oh, that's interesting. You're right, he would not end up in the same place as the Ritva. Because the Ritva's distinction between the key moment, between moment and fascia, would not be true for him.
Just debating on what's
right.
The fundamental...
Yeah, you're right. No, you're right. The Ritva is saying a much more fundamental split between the two. And the Ketzos is ultimately arguing that there isn't really a fundamental split between the two. There's only like one technical split. That's totally true. That's a very good point. Okay, Jacob Matrani.
Can you read the Marsha outside?
The Marsha outside? Oh, the Rashmi, right?
Yeah, sorry.
I'd love to, but it's already 1 o'clock. It's not really fair to everybody. Okay, anybody else with a comment or question? Yeah, Cook.
How does that work? Because I think the whole difference that by the moment is that the litigants are allowed to be witnesses, by conducion they're not. So when he says, like...
No, that's exactly the point. We need witnesses present for it to happen. It's just, it plays out differently who those witnesses could be in Mamonot and in Kedushin.
Why would the Hagishar say that you should then give the carbon knowledge to allow these witnesses to be
Kedushin? Because even in a monetary case, if it was Chav Lachrini, Hodad Baldin would break down. We're really keeping the parallel. It's just that every Kedushin case is Chav Lachrini. Yeah, do it.
Are there some Mamon cases that are Chav Lachrini?
Yes.
You can think of so many.
Oh, very good. You say, according to Ketos, how would that play out?
Yeah.
Okay, that's a very good question. Okay, it's a good question, but I'm talking for now. Okay, everybody good with that? We're okay? All right, guys, a pleasure giving Shirklo to you. Well, don't forget, sign up for Nefesh Nefesh on Sunday and 1:15 alumni lunch downstairs.